back to episode 20 of Amsterdam. I'm your host, Patrick Clay, joined alongside Grant Ingram here. Grant, how you doing on this fine Sunday?
Pretty good, Pat. Good long week of soccer and two tough games, and then March Madness started, so that was a highlight to the week. But besides that, we're doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. Like you said, March Madness started, which is always a plus. This is my favorite time of the year, especially being a sports fan. And we had a busy week with Bluffton sports, so I'm excited to talk about it. Garrett, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Pat. You said it before, best week for a sports fan, I'd have to say, with multiple basketball games, in which I think is the best sport, which is college basketball. So, a couple tough outings for the Beavers overall this week, but a lot of things to grow on and some positives to take away.
Yeah, it's been a busy week, and we're going to start it off with cross country, who competed last Sunday. We did not have the results last week for last week's Beaver Dam, so we want to hit on that first. And then we have some individuals getting some big awards in the conference this week, as well as across the nation. And then we're going to go ahead and go into football, men's soccer, women's soccer, then baseball, and finish it up with softball. So let's first talk about cross country. The Beavers jumped back into cross country season for one day on Sunday, March 14th, to compete at the Heartland Conference Cross Country Championship meet in Louisville, Kentucky.
The women's team kicked off the meet with a 6K race through the mud and hills on Sunday afternoon. Head coach and program director Kayla Jackno was pleased with the women's performance, saying, "The women's team put together an amazing race. With a team of mostly freshmen, we were able to do some amazing things. A fourth place finish with a small team consisting mostly of underclassmen is an amazing accomplishment. We raced extremely well, and I'm excited for what we can do in the future."
Bluffton's women were led by freshman Janiyah Freewalt with a time of 25:40. Sophomore Justine Lesanowski followed with a time of 25:44, while freshman Miranda Billman finished with a time of 26:01.
During the women's race, freshman and captain of the women's team, Janiyah Freewalt, ran a smart yet gutsy race to secure herself a top 12 finish, and with that, HCAC all-conference honors. Lesanowski and Billman both earned honorable mention all-HCAC acclaim as the women placed fourth at the championship.
Following the women's championship, the men got ready to tear up the course in their 8K race. Coach Jackno was especially proud of the teamwork displayed during the men's competition, saying, "The men's team had a very solid race. The leadership of sophomore captain Max Chandler allowed our top three guys to race smartly. Max took the guys out at a good pace, which allowed them to race hard through the first 5K. Because of this leadership, freshmen Ethan Lai and Alex Montrose were able to use that experience from the upperclassmen to run a successful race. Leading the men's team were freshman Lai with a time of 27:26, Montrose with a time of 27:34, and Chandler with a time of 28:51. Lai earned honorable mention all HCAC recognition.
After a day of successful races, the Beavers continue their training in preparation for the beginning of outdoor track season, which will kick off at Cedarville next Saturday, March 27th. So overall, this is a very young cross-country team that also lost their coach just right here before. They also really haven't not been preparing for cross-country season, and the fact that cross-country is normally in the fall, and they decided that they did want to allow them to be able to have an HCAC conference championship. So with a young team, a fourth-place finish for the women and sixth-place finish for the men, you have to be happy considering all of the things that they have been through this season.
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff off the course, I'd say, that was that you could use as an excuse or distractions from the competition. But the fact that they went down there and put together a pretty good performance on the men's and women's side from a young team, like you could see in the Jackno quotes that she's pleased with where they're at, and they should be able to move forward from this. For the second straight game, Archer equaled the Bluffton school record with 3 interceptions in Bluffton's 35-27 win over Anderson. He also led the Beavers' defense with 9 solo tackles among his 12 stops. His 6 pickoffs through 3 games are just 2 away from a single-season record of 8. Archer also returned a punt for 70 yards all the way to the end zone.
The Beavers held Anderson to 440 yards, 260 fewer than the 700 they put up a week ago against Franklin. Bluffton finished with 4 interceptions, giving them 10 over the past 2 games. Archer stole the show last week with 3 interceptions and a 65-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown in Bluffton's 49-14 win at Manchester. He also led the Beavers with 7 stops against the Spartans as Bluffton forced 8 turnovers.
And they, he was also named a Heartland Conference Collegiate Player of the Week on the defensive side of the ball as well for the second straight week. Congratulations to Montez on that great honor, being honored across the nation as well as in the conference. Now on to the actual game that they played yesterday. They battled HCAC preseason favorite Hanover College for 60 minutes on Saturday, March 20th. Coming up just short as the Panthers scored with 15 seconds remaining for a 51-44 victory over the Beavers. Bluffton dropped its first game of the year 3-1 and 2-1 in the HCAC now, while Hanover improved to 2-0 and 2-0 in the HCAC.
A pair of first quarter touchdowns for the home team had Hanover up 14-0 before Zachary Nobis connected with tight end Drew Mace on the first play of quarter two to make it 14-7. Down 21-7 late in the first half, workhorse Darian Greeley punched it home from 1 yard out, but the extra point attempt went awry, and Hanover took it the other way for 2 points, making it 23-13 with 52 seconds left on the clock.
A Hanover fumble with 21 seconds left gave Bluffton the ball at the visitor's 36-yard line. Nobis hit Jeremy Locklear with a pair of first downs before finding Deontay Hall with a 39-yard scoring strike as Bluffton pulled within 20-23 at the break.
Freshman Daniel Blanford drilled a 35-yard field goal, and Lorenz Johnson hauled in a 30-yard touchdown reception from Novus in the third quarter, but Hanover hit Pater 3 times in the quarter as the home team opened a 44-30 lead heading to the final 15 minutes.
Bluffton cut the deficit in half with 7 minutes to play when Malik Tucker found the end zone from 6 yards out. A 29-yard Nobis run had the Beavers all square with 4:44 to play as Bluffton fought back to make it a new game. A 3-and-out deep in Hanover territory gave the Beavers great field position at the home 40 with 3:29 on the clock.
Hanover's defense returned the favor and forced a quick punt that gave the Panthers possession at their own 9-yard line. They marched down the field and went up 51-44 when quarterback Matthew Weimer capped off the 12-play, 91-yard drive with a 1-yard run.
Novus completed 21 of 43 passes for 357 yards with 3 touchdowns and no picks. He also churned out 89 yards on the ground. Greeley went for 59 yards and a touchdown on 17 carries. Plummy Gardner caught 3 balls for 90 yards, while Johnson's 4 catches netted 66 yards and a score. Hall finished with 61 yards receiving and with the 39-yard touchdown.
Brady Haustein led the defense with 14 stops on Saturday. Senior Stephen Koskowski paced the secondary with 9 solo stops. He forced a fumble to go along with his tackle for loss. Freshman Montez Archer Jr. and sophomore Martez Neighbors chipped in with 7 tackles apiece. Archer returned 6 kickoffs for 190 yards, including a 78-yarder at the end of the first quarter that set up Bluffton's first touchdown.
Hanover and Bluffton combined for 1,060 yards in total offense. The Beavers put up 393 on the ground while the Beavers went for 357 through the air. The home team was 7-for-14 on third down opportunities compared to the 5-for-14 for the Beavers. Hanover converted touchdowns in all 5 of its red zone chances.
Bluffton will welcome Franklin College to Alumni Field on Saturday, March 27th. Kickoff in Saltzman Stadium is slated for 1:30 p.m., but you see a very tight, contested game between the Beavers and Hanover, with Hanover having to score with 15 seconds left on the clock to defeat the Beavers. And this Beaver football team is playing with confidence that in my career here I have not seen. And so it's been exciting and awesome to be able to see. This is the preseason favorite, and they're reigning conference champion that at their home field took them with 15 seconds left to take down the Beavers, which I think if you're Coach Krebs, you'll take that any day of the week.
Absolutely. I think this game was kind of to see where you're at, like a kind of a where your ceiling is compared to the past 2 weeks. You're playing teams that are, you know, on the lower end of the conference and games that you feel like you should win, but then you turn around and play, like you said, the number one team in the conference. All right, see where you're at, and to play them that tight is really impressive from a Bluffton standpoint. And you know, kind of frustrated you can't get the win, but they should take positives away from that game and use that going forward.
Definitely. I mean, when you see the quarterback play from Bluffton, you know, Zach Nobis with 357 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no picks. I mean, can't really ask for a better game than him. You know, just an unlucky touchdown at the end that could have possibly sent this into overtime. But overall, I'm sure the team might not be pleased with the result, but pleased about how they played.
Yeah, this football team is exciting, and I'm excited once soccer season gets finished to be able to see them play up in action. You know, we get a kind of watch maybe at the beginning before our soccer game starts, and then a little bit afterwards. But it's exciting to be able to see where this team is going, and they're competing. And I think that's the biggest thing. In years past, it seems like when we went to face the big teams, we struggled to compete and to travel down to Hanover and only lose by a touchdown after with 15 seconds left. It's a heartbreaker, but it shows how much this football team has grown under Coach Krebs in his third season at the helm. But we're going to move over to men's soccer. We're going to start with some accolades, as Dalton Tainer was named to the HCAC Offensive Player of the Week last week after a pair of outstanding performances. It makes the second time in his career that Tainer has earned HCAC Player of the Week honors. He knocked in 3 goals for the Beavers last week. He helped Bluffton to a 2-2 tie at MSJ on Wednesday night and followed that up with 2 scores in Bluffton's 3-1 win at Anderson on Saturday. He finished the week with 6 shots, including 5 on frame.
Saturday marked the first Beaver victory over Anderson since 2011, snapping a string of 8 straight setbacks at the hands of AU. The win at Anderson was Bluffton's first conference road victory since the 3-0 shutout of the Grizzlies at Franklin in 2017.
Let's move over to the games this week for the Beavers. The Bluffton University soccer team dropped a 3-0 decision at Earlham College on a warm Wednesday, March 17th. Bluffton fell to 1-3-1 on the season and in the conference, while Earlham improved to 2-3 overall and in the HCAC. It was a reunion for head coach Robert Richardson, who served as an assistant Earlham prior to his time at Emory and Henry.
Luke Caesar put the visitors up in minute 9, and his second tally made it 2-0 just past the midway mark of the half of half number 1. Bluffton had chances in the first half, but the Quakers carried that 2-0 lead into the break. Caesar completed his hat trick when Ethan Getman found him in the back half. He did the rest, bearing goal number 3 in the lower left corner to seal the outcome.
Bluffton finished 2 more shots than the Quakers, but the visitors put 2 more on frame. The home team was whistled for 4 more fouls. Bluffton also forced 10 of the 13 corner kicks. Freshman Eliza Zimmerman and sophomore Hunter Coffey both fired 3 shots, with all of Zimmerman's on target. Elijah Greaser and Jacob Kiger chipped in with 2 shots apiece. Zimmerman and fellow freshman Aaron Stearns earned their first collegiate starts on Wednesday afternoon. Sophomore keeper Tanner Newport finished with 6 saves for the Beavers.
We're going to move on to their game on Saturday. The Bluffton University men's soccer team hosted Transylvania University Pioneers on a beautiful spring Saturday afternoon. Despite a 1-0 lead at halftime, the Beavers were unable to hold off a talented Transylvania team. The Pioneers took a 4-1 decision on March 20th. With the loss, Bluffton fell to 1-4-1 overall and 1-4-1 in the HCAC.
The opening half was a stellar 45 minutes for the Beavers, striking first blood in the match at the 36-57 mark on a goal from Maxwell Kennedy following a Christian Parker cross. The Beavers were efficient in the first, scoring on one of their 2 shots, unlike the visitors, who were unsuccessful on all 10. Corner kicks for the period were Transylvania 4 and none for Bluffton.
The second half was a stark contest for the opening period, as the Pioneers came out. Pioneers cashed in 4 times, including a 3 in a span of 7 minutes late in the match. Scoring started at the 51-45 mark and ended at the 81-48 mark. Transylvania fired away 31 shots compared to Bluffton's 4 attempts. corner kicks were 7-1 in favor of Transylvania, while Bluffton had 13 more saves than the Pioneers. Sophomore keeper Tanner Newport racked up 14 saves on the Saturday setback.
The men's squad will be back in action on Wednesday night when they travel to Franklin College looking to rebound off the tough loss. Kickoff in Indiana is slated for 7 p.m. So obviously a tough loss, two tough losses for the Beavers. I will say that this Beavers team was without the reigning HCAC Player of the Week in Dalton Tanner, as well as myself, who are both battling some injuries. Unfortunately, just some tough losses, and you played a team, and we felt like we should have beat and Earl them and let that one slip away, and then had a 1-0 lead at halftime against a very good Transy team, but in the end, they were able to find the back of the net a few times there in the second half and came out with, unfortunately, two losses this week, and I'm definitely going to have to look to rebound in a game that hopefully Dalton and I will be back in, but tough losses this week definitely for the men's soccer team.
Yeah, it was a frustrating week. I think Wednesday was more frustrating than yesterday. I think yesterday we just ran out of gas late against Transy, and they're just a very good team, and running out of legs against a team like that that's extremely talented is never a recipe for success. And then the Earlham game, we just didn't come out. The first 10 minutes, once we didn't once they scored after we played positive stuff, it was a bit frustrating, a setback. It was just not a good performance from us.
Unfortunate, but hopefully the Beavers can get back in on track on Wednesday night at Franklin College. We're going to move over to women's soccer as the women's soccer team traveled to Earlham College on Wednesday, March 17th, and notched a 1-1 tie with the Quakers. The Beavers moved to 0-4-1 on the season, 0-3-1 in the HCAC, while Earlham stands 1-3-1 on both accounts.
A Nicole Burkett goal at the 33-54 mark put the Quakers up 1-0. The score remained the same for over 40 minutes until Caroline Schultz connected on a feed from Zoe Ryan and deposited in the back of the net, knotting the match at 1-1 with just over 13 minutes on the clock. That marked the end of the day's scoring, however, as 1-1 was the final result after two overtimes and 110 minutes of action.
Senior Maddie Huffman paced the Beavers with 6 shots, 5 on frame. Ryan and T. Upshaw both rifled three attempts from the visitors. Senior keeper Sienna Sullivan finished a pair of saves against 1 Earlham tally. Bluffton powered its way in a commanding 19-5 edge in shots, including 10-3 on frame. The Beavers were whistled for 2 more fouls and forced all 8 corner kicks on Wednesday afternoon.
They were back in action at home on Saturday on Senior Day as well in Saltzman Stadium as they lost a heartbreaker 2-1. Beavers were unable to hold their 1-0 lead, and the Pioneers scored twice late in the second half for the 2-1 victory. The women slipped to 0-5-1 on the season and 0-4-1 in the Heartland Conference.
The first half was a tight one for both squads as they went searching for a goal. Senior Jules Frazier had 2 saves for the Beavers in the first 45 minutes. Transylvania took 6 shots with 8 corner kicks, while the Beavers managed just 2 shot attempts.
In the second stanza, the action picked up considerably with the Beavers striking first when Maddie Huffman drilled a free kick from just outside the box in minute 59. The Pioneers quickly answered with one of their own at the 65-59 mark with the game tied and the clock ticking. The visitors spoiled Senior Day with a penalty kick goal and the waning moments as Transy moved to 3-2 with a narrow 2-1 victory. Transy took 13 shots and forced 16 corner kicks compared to the 3 shots and 1 corner kick from Bluffton. The fouls were matched where Bluffton 13 and the Pioneers 4. Frazier tallied all 4 saves as all 8 seniors were in the starting lineup on Saturday. Huffman finished with 2 shots and a goal on Senior Day.
Beavers will be back in action on Wednesday, March 24th at 3:30 p.m. when they welcome the Franklin College Grizzlies to Alumni Field. And so the Beavers were able to get that tie at Earlham in a game where they definitely felt like they should have won, and then lose a heartbreaker here at home on Senior Day. And so you could say, I mean, you're happy with the tie. You at least got some type of points in the conference, but definitely two games that the Beavers felt a little bit of heartbreak in tying and losing.
Yeah, it's a frustrating week for the Lady Beavers team, and they really felt like they were the much better team at Earlham, and then yesterday that game was very even back and forth, and Transylvania gets a late penalty decision to go their way, and that's just sometimes how it goes, and to lose, like, I don't think they deserve to lose that game yesterday. Just watching the 60 minutes I did, didn't feel like they deserved to lose. It felt like it was very even, and they at least deserved a tie at home on senior day. But, you know, they just can't seem to get a result to go their way, and hopefully they can respond this week.
We hope so. And so they will host Franklin on Wednesday at 3:30 kickoff here on Alumni Field. Still only faculty and students being allowed to attend, but it will be live streamed. Let's move over to baseball, as the Beavers hosted Rose Holman in a doubleheader Saturday, March 20th. Engineers came into Bluffton and swept the Saturday doubleheader by the final scores of 9-0 and 13-2.
Rose Holman got the scoring going in the top of the second inning when Alex Gavilich scoring Luke Kumpler and Luke Calabrese. Shane Mitchell then grounded out the first, scoring Gavilich.
The game remained 3-0 until the top of the seventh inning when Klumpker reached second base and dropped fly ball, scoring both Logan Cody and Josh Mezenbrick. Brett Tuttle's singled for Klumpfer. Brett Tuttle then scored on a failed pickoff attempt.
Matt Rouse got the win for Rose Holman, tossing six scoreless innings, giving up six hits while fanning three. He also issued six walks. Brett Borchading got the save, pitching three scoreless innings and striking out six.
Tommy Seymour was tagged with the loss for Bluffton, giving up three runs on five hits and four innings while fanning five. Jacob Bolkins pitched 2 2/3, giving up four runs, all unearned, on two hits with three strikeouts. Seth Evans tossed a scoreless ninth, striking out one engineer. Reed Rule and Parker Reynolds led the Beavers with two hits apiece. Rose Holman snatched the nightcap in eight innings with a final score of 13-2. Bluffton jumped out to an early lead when Reynolds doubled, scoring Jack Tao and Rule. However, Rose Holman answered with two runs on their own in the top of the third inning when Drew Roberts doubled. Roberts then scored on a series of throwing errors by the Beaver infield.
The visitors made it 8-2 with four runs in the top of the fourth. They added one in the seventh and then passed another four spot up in the eighth en route of a 13-2 mercy rule finish when Bluffton was unable to get the lead inside of single digits at the bottom of the frame. Jacob Pescro picked up the win for Rose Holman. He pitched eight innings, allowing two runs and five hits while feigning seven. Garrett O'Reilly took the loss after allowing eight runs on seven hits in his 3.1 inning start. Sean Brock pitched 3.2 innings in relief, allowing one run and three hits while feigning three. Jacob Hackworth finished up with 2/3 of an inning, allowing no runs and one hit. Rule led the Beavers with two hits, giving him four knocks on the day.
The Beavers are back in action today on Sunday, March 21st. First game is slated for 1 p.m. We do not have results of that game yet. We'll have that next week for you guys. But we are going to hop over let's talk about baseball first. A tough loss here at home against what was a very good Rose Holman team. And for the Beavers, still just only one win on the season, and so they are struggling a little bit.
Yeah, and it feels like it's more self-inflicted than anything. Had four errors in each one of those games. And like you said, when you're playing such a good team, you can't give them, you know, extra outs almost, when you got to be playing sound baseball. And just, it sounds like throwing errors and just stuff that needs to be cleaned up, obviously. And that comes with, you know, time. A lot of inexperienced guys playing right now, but hopefully they can clean it up.
I hope so. And for Coach Grandy's sake, and just for all of the seniors that, you know, have battled through a lot, lost their season last year, and so they just enjoying playing games but would like to get some wins over there. But let's move over to softball, and we're going to – goes back to last Sunday. We did not have results, so we're going to start there, and then they had two games this week. Well, your university softball team was on its home field for a regular season game for the first time since 2019 when the Beavers welcomed Albion College on Sunday, March 14th. Bluffton slipped to 0-4 on the season, while the Britons stand at 2-0 following the sweep.
The visitors went up 1-0 in the first, but Bluffton fired back with runs in the third and the fourth with a 2-1 lead heading into the fifth. Bobby Adams and Aaron Norman laced RBI singles as the Beavers went ahead of Albion.
an inside the park home run from the Albion down to the right field line, knotted the game at 2-2 in the fifth. When the Britons opened it up three more scores in the sixth, courtesy of Bluffton's three errors. The Beavers put two runners on the bottom of the frame, but Albion cashed in game one with a 5-2 victory.
Adam led the Beavers with three hits, and Taylor Stanky chipped in with a pair of safeties. Norman dropped her first decision of the season after allowing five runs, just two earned on eight hits and six innings of work. She struck out two and walked one.
Albion took a 1-0 lead in the second and held that advantage until the bottom of six when Bluffton pushed two runs across the plate with two outs. Stanky ripped a shot down in the right field corner and motored around the bases for an inside-the-park homer that made the score 2-2. Two Albion errors allowed Marissa Abel to put the Beavers up 3-2 going into the seventh.
The Britons took advantage of an infield single and dropped a fly ball in the seventh as the visitors plated two runs and lead to retake the lead 3-2. Sydney Bowen and Brianna Baker were on the corners of the home half when Stanky's laser to right center found an Albion glove, sealing a 3-2 Britain victory.
Adams added two more hits in game two, giving her five for the day. Birthday girl Katie McCord was sensational in the circle, allowing just one run on six hits during her six innings of work. She fanned three and did not issue a free pass. Grace Fillinger fell to 0-2 after allowing two runs on two hits in the seventh inning. Bluffton jumped back into action on Tuesday, March 16th, when they exploded for 23 runs in a sweep on Manchester. Bluffton improved to 2-4 on the season, while Manchester slipped to 1-3.
With the game tied 1-1 in the top of the second, consecutive singles by Emily Dyson, Lily Tate, and Sydney Brown loaded the sacks for sophomore catcher Bobby Adams. One swing of the bat from Adams made the score 5-0 as her grand slam cleared the bases.
Adams made it 7-1 in the fourth, while her single plated Dyson and Bowen. Taylor Shimp and Bryn Sisco and Taylor Stanky all crossed the dish in the fourth as Bluffton opened up a 10-1 lead over the Spartans.
Manchester pulled back within seven while the home team scored a pair of runs in the bottom of the fourth, but Adams made sure five innings would be enough as she cranked home run number two of the game, a three-run shot with Bowen and Tate crossing the plate.
Adams put her name all over the single game record book with nine RBIs, three more than the previous school mark, and two homers, which equaled the Bluffton record for dingers in a game. She went 3-4 with two runs scored to go along with her nine RBIs. Bowen scored four times, which also equaled the school record. Tate and Dyson both scored two runs, and Stanky drove in a pair.
Grace Fillinger picked up her first win after allowing three runs on four hits and four innings of errors. And work. Katie Fleshman worked a shutout in the fifth to cap game one. Senior Riley Langstaff singled home. Sammy Urban not in game two at 1-1 in the top of the third. Manchester went back ahead 2-1 in the home half, before a four-run fourth by the Beavers made the score 5-2. A Bowen two-bagger picked up Lexus Rutledge and an Adams ground-out plated Tate, putting Bluffton up 3-2. Stanky tripled home Bowen, and the barrage finally ended after Shimp's base knock plated Stanky for a 5-2 advantage.
Rutledge and Stanky added RBI singles in the fifth, with Crystal Dales and Tate scoring for the Beavers, and then three insurance runs in the seventh proved crucial as Manchester scored in the bottom of the frame and had the bases loaded when the game ended 10-5 in favor of the visitors. Aaron Norman's run-scoring single drove in Stanky for tally number 23 of the day.
Tate and Rutledge both wrapped three hits in game two. Stanky, Shimp, Langstaff, and Norman also chipped, and with multiple safeties for the Beavers, Tate scored three times and Stanky drove in two runs. Norman worked a complete game, allowing five runs, just two earned, and eight hit in seven innings of work. She struck out three and walked three.
Bluffton then hit the road on Saturday, March 20th, when they traveled to Adrian College for a non-conference matchup. The Bluffton softball team left its offense at Manchester's. The Beavers were on the receiving end of a pair of shutouts at Adrian College. Bluffton fell to 2-6, while the Bulldogs improved to 5-3 on the season.
A Texas leaguer by Bobby Adams in the lid lifter and an infield single by freshman Lexus Rutledge in the capper were the only hits the Beavers could scratch out on Saturday and after putting up 23 runs in 12 innings at Manchester on Tuesday night.
Junior Grace Fillinger took the loss in Game 1 after allowing 5 runs in 8 innings and 6 and 8 hits in 6 innings of work. Senior Katie McCord fell to 0-2 after surrendering 7 runs in 10 hits in just 3 innings of Game 2. Sophomore Aaron Norman tossed 3 shutout innings with 4 strikeouts in relief from McCord.
And Bluffton's right back in action again today when they traveled to Albion College to try and get some payback on them after defeating them last Sunday. Game 1 was slated for a 1 p.m. We do not have results of that game yet. We will have that next week for you as well. But the Beavers finally got their first 2 wins as they had 23 runs against Manchester, but it seems against Albion and Adrian, they just struggled to score. They had runners in scoring position, just couldn't seem to get them home.
Yeah, the games against Albion, I was there for those, or game 2 I was, and it was very frustrating to take the lead in the 6th and then give it up in the 7th and then almost have a chance for the walk-off with Psyche hit one to the warning track with runners on the corners, which would have obviously won the game for the Beavers. But it seems like the Beavers are, facing these MIAA teams, which are usually good in any sport. Not going to act like I know about MIAA softball, but those Michigan schools are usually pretty talented and across the board. So facing those teams will be a good, benchmark to see where you're at. And then the fact that they beat Manchester, like, that's a really good sign considering they're in our conference and we play them, multiple times when it comes to conference play season.
Yeah, definitely. So they hope to get back in track, maybe get some payback against Albion here today. We'll have those results for you guys next week. But it's another busy week. We're going to have it continue to be pretty crazy. Men's and women's soccer will wrap up by the end of March, but then outdoor track and field's getting ready to start. Football is going to continue to go, as well as you'll continue to see baseball and softball. As you can see, the softball team is going to end up playing 4 games from last Sunday to this Sunday. So they're staying really busy. Baseball has played now what will be 2 games. They need a little bit more rest between games with just pitching and everything else. But the schedule is going to continue to stay crazy, and we love it here on the Beaver Dam. But, Grant, you have anything else for the week?
No, just a tough week for the Beavers overall, and hopefully next week we come back and every sport has a more successful week.
Garrett, you got anything?
I would just have to second that. Some chances for wins for every team of the Beavers this week, and I'm excited to recap it next Sunday.
But that does wrap up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next Sunday. Check out previous podcasts, search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, the WIT 961 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaver Dam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, blufftonwit.com, and subscribe. This is Patrick Spillman, joined alongside with Grant Ingham and Garrett Heitman. And we thank you for listening to 96.1 The WIT.